Well, 2 weeks later, and here we are, back at the seashore. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, James, and John, and two others returned to the Sea of Galilee. And here we are, all sitting together around a campfire, just hanging out. Ever the impetuous one, Peter suddenly looks up and says, "Guys, I'm going fishing." One by one, we join him, and soon all of the boats are back out on the water. "Follow me," Jesus said to us not so long ago, "and I will make you fish for people." But now the fishermen have returned to their fish. Easter, 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Jesus' resurrection from the dead with what was likely a whole lot more faith and hope than did Mary and Simon Peter and the other disciples when they encountered the empty tomb that first Easter morning. "They've taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have laid him," Mary had proclaimed. "Do not hold on to me," Jesus said to her in return. But the inclination that something earth-shattering has happened doesn't seem to have fully sunk in. Last Sunday, we heard the story of that first evening, the evening of the day that Jesus rose when the disciples were hiding away behind a locked door. So much for believing in the earth-shattering power of the resurrection. And now another week has passed. The disciples are no longer locked up in that room. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, James, and John, and two others have walked some 170 kilometers north of Jerusalem to the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee. That's not too far off the distance between, say, here in Ottawa. But first century roads, I think, are a far cry from our highways, and I suspect it took them a little bit longer to plod the dusty tracks of Judea than the couple hours it might take us to drive that distance today. But like the well-driven Highway 17, the road from Jerusalem to Galilee is a familiar road. I wonder what they talked about as they walked. Did the painful and confusing memories of the previous few weeks in Jerusalem begin to fade as they put some distance between themselves and the city? Were they talking about what had happened? Were they trying to forget? Or were they still trying to make sense of what had happened? Because despite having seen Jesus, seen him twice for some of those in our traveling group, there seems to be some confusion about what to do now. Jesus sent them out, told them not to hold on to him, but maybe they don't know what that means. So here we are gathered beside the sea in that familiar place, the place where we've fished every day up until that day when Jesus called each one of us one by one. Can we go back to the way things were? Can we remain unchanged? The answer, of course, is no. Easter has happened and is happening, whether we feel certain about it or not. With the cross and the resurrection still standing tall before us, time has shifted, and what was then is now. Rather than Easter being that day that we look forward to once a year, it is every single day. The sun rises each morning, and we are reminded that early in the morning, today, yesterday and tomorrow, Jesus rose. As if a reminder of that, Jesus suddenly appears on the beach for the third time since he rose. But we don't know it's him at first. We're still out fishing. Well, trying to fish. It's been a bad night. We've caught nothing. Maybe they'd been about to give up anyway. Thomas, leaning over to Peter, reminds him that he thought this was a bad idea in the first place. They hadn't fished in 3 years. What made us think that we could just pick it all back up? A figure appears on the beach. Have you caught anything? No, we reply. Cast the net out the right side of the boat, and you'll find some, is the response. So we do, and have an epic haul of fish. The gospel writer tells us there were so many fish that they weren't able to haul the net in, fearful that it might break. Such abundance, such abundant grace from Jesus. The disciples, who he has invested so much time and energy into over the last 3 years, seem to have abandoned everything to try and go back to how life was before they met him. Rather than pout or get angry, Jesus extends so much grace that it strains our capacity to haul it in. It overflows. Because that's what God's grace does. When we least expect it, when all hope is gone, when we wonder what we're doing, when there's no fish, when we think that there's no future, when we're feeling vulnerable or alone or wonder why we're here, there is overflowing, abundant grace. Not blame for having failed, not guilt for feeling like there's no hope, not shame for feeling lost, only overflowing, abundant grace. My grace is sufficient for you, says Jesus, for my power is made perfect in your weakness, in your doubt, in your confusion. And then, as if to settle it, Jesus invites us to share a meal. We come. And Jesus takes bread and breaks it and passes it around the circle. And then he does the same thing with the fish. Eat with me, he says. Remember what happens when we eat. Where two or three are gathered, whenever you break bread and eat, you do this in memory of me. Food, grace, abundance. It seems so simple. In the midst of our doubts, in the midst of our uncertainties, Jesus shows up on the shore and invites us to share a meal once again. We sit down together and eat. Whether it be around the table of the Lord when we gather on Sundays and our community breaks bread together, around the kitchen table at home with the familiar laughter of family and friends, around tables in a church hall, smelling and tasting a rich, fragrant meal prepared by our church family. Jesus is with us on the shore this morning, inviting us to share life and to eat with him. The Last Supper and this resurrection meal fold into one with the changing of time, and we find community and fellowship with each other. We find abundance in each other. Not only that, but we remember that today is Easter. And tomorrow, when we wake up and have breakfast, it's still Easter. And the next day, and the day after that. Shortly after Jesus rose, two disciples, in their fear and uncertainty, went for a walk. and they found themselves at a table, eating with Jesus. As the bread was broken and shared, their eyes were opened, and they realized that Jesus had been among them their entire time, overflowing with such grace that their hearts had been burning with the joy of his presence. May it be for us as it was for them. As we eat, as we drink, may we find and know the abundance of God's grace in our lives and in our lives together. Amen.